You ready?
I'm ready, bro.
All right, well, we all ready. Yeah.
All right, welcome back to Enjoy the Podcast. We are your hosts. Well, we got some special guests in the building. We got Lovey Los.
You fired JD's.
We've lost one of our hosts today, but we got two very, very special people in the building. You guys have requested, and we delivered. We got the roommates in the building.
Yo, what up?
For the people who don't know, why don't you let them know who each one of you are? Why don't you go first, please?
Yeah, so do we look at you? I look at the camera?
How look at the camera, yeah, look at the camera. But okay. We're in a conversation.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Which one? Okay,
this one right here. Yeah. I'm trying to understand.
It's too many cameras. Yeah. So yeah, my name is Hafiz. You know, I'm one of the co-hosts of The Roommates. The goal of The Roommates is to help men become the best version of themselves physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. And so we've been doing the show for about 5 years, and our goal is just to help men win. And in the process of helping men win, create better husbands, better fathers, better leaders, and, you know, women win as well. So that's The Roommates.
Yeah, I second that. My name is Chris, one of the co-hosts. You know, we've been on this journey, you know, on this wave, and, you know, we've been through a lot, but, you know, we wouldn't trade anything in the world. So I'm excited to, be on the podcast with y'all, y'all 35th episode.
Turn up. That's interesting, you know, that you said. One of the things that I love about your guys' channel is that you guys are advocates for men.
Yeah.
And I feel, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't really have too many role models when it came to men. I have my father. But other than that, like when we're looking to outside world, because right now, YouTubers are the new celebrities. So let's just be real. So there's a bunch of young men who are looking at you guys and getting advice from you guys. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I want to ask was, who was that for you if you had it?
Oh, that's great.
That's big. Man, yeah, for me, I think I experienced, like, my friends are my family, you know, especially the guys I went, because I play high school football.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you have that team mentality, especially football, especially Texas. Mm. It's like you go to war.
Yeah.
You know, so those guys, you know, definitely was able to have pushed me in different ways, and also they was understanding in ways that I wasn't good at. You know, they taught me a lot how to dress. They taught me a lot with women and things like that. And then I always had the cadence of always, you know, being around people or somebody that was better than me.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, all right, this person smarter than me. I need to figure out, you know, how does he think? You know, this person dressed better than me. I need to figure out what pieces I could take from him. You know, and, you know, so I kind of learned from a lot of people.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it wasn't just one in particular, but I think that brotherhood and community that I was blessed with, because a lot of guys, unfortunately, don't have that, really, you know, put me on a different trajectory, for sure.
Yeah, so for me, I think first was my dad.
Yeah.
He was a rock star. He really, the reason why I feel like I'm really good with dealing with men is because of him.
Mm.
Because what my dad taught me is that men really value people who love them. I love mafia movies. I don't have obsessed with mafia gangster movies. But what you notice is that the greatest kings aren't the most powerful. The greatest kings are the ones who his subjects love him and feel like he loves them.
Yeah.
So my dad taught me that, like, when it comes to guys, when you love them, when you really care about them, men respond pretty well to that. It's very interesting. A lot more than women do. And so my dad taught me that. So I was always really good with befriending guys.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in high school, I was like a sophomore on the football team. I was third string junior varsity cornerback. But all the seniors loved me.
Yeah.
I was just good at just being friendly to them. And so my whole life, that was like my dad gave that to me. And then when I went to college, I had mentors as well. And then there was a guy who really was the genesis of my, you know, journey to helping men. It was a pastor in Seattle at that time, but now he's in Arizona, called Pastor Mark Driscoll. And he was kind of like the guy who taught me a lot about how to help men.
Mm.
Because he was in Seattle, Washington, and in a very post-modern society where, like you said, masculinity and man, no one was doing all that stuff. And he was a pastor of a church. And usually when you think about church, you think about, like, women.
Yeah.
You know, like, churches, like, guys think churches are, like, literally, like, all, you know, like, I ain't going there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you're young, you're living your best life. And Pastor Mark Driscoll, he had a church in Seattle. I kid you not. His largest demographic were single men between the ages of 25 and 35. Think about that. The large, and it was a church full of like 10,000 people. So it wasn't like a mom and pop. It was a mega church.
Yeah.
With men single.
Wow.
Meaning that no girlfriend, no wife was dragging you there. I was going there for myself because he knew how to talk to men.
Interesting.
So that to me was like my genesis at the age of 19 years old to really understand like the power of speaking to men and what it could, how it could transform the lives of men, because he definitely helped transform my own.
What about you, Lois? Did you, growing up, did you have a lot of male role models?
No, I found mine.
I just
like kind of seek mine out. At one point, my mom remarried when I was around like 12, I think it was. So at that point, I had a male role model, but my stepdad's white. So I still would find and look for, you know, men that look like me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, you know, befriend. It was always usually like my wrestling coach or something like that I would, you know, have a strong relationship with. So yeah. I would always find other male role models outside. Not to say that my stepdad or, you know, really my dad didn't do a great job. He did a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to find somebody that looked like me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
Yeah,
for me, man, I fell into the trap of looking at celebrities, looking at rappers, mm-hmm. looking at, you know, certain people that I shouldn't have, the things that I thought was cool at that time. Mm-hmm. And that's what I soaked up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my role model. And I think what I had to get to understand was like, this was not giving me the life that I wanted. This mm-hmm. wasn't providing me the women that I want. This wasn't providing me the careers that I wanted. And I think that was my shift. Like for you, was it just internal? Was it just like something that you knew you had to work on, or were you kind of like had a good base? Because I was terrible in the beginning.
What do you mean by work on?
Like, was there a shift where when you were 19,
mm-hmm, yeah.
was there a shift where you're like, I need to find a role model?
Oh,
when you went to church, or what did it find you?
Yeah, so
because I know you were saying it found you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. To me, it found me as well.
Yeah,
you know, like I said, it was. I remember I was, you know, I was 19 years old, I was a sophomore in college, playing college football. I just wanted to get laid and just have fun, right?
Yeah.
And so I remember my friend, when he invited me to a Bible study one day, it was weird because I'd never been to one before in my life, but it was all men there.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, hold on, this is kind of, what are you guys doing?
Everyone's
here?
Hugging each other.
You know, it was weird because it was like, you would think it's like Steve Urkel's,
yeah.
but it was like real dudes, like dudes on the football team.
Yeah.
And so to me, the way it impacted me, it was like, bro, like if this could do this to me, like, bro, I wonder what it can do to everybody else. So mm-hmm. to me, I feel like it found me in that mm-hmm. sense.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, going on to you've developed a YouTube following, 85% men now.
Yeah.
Which is bananas.
Yeah,
it's the complete opposite of what we got going on over here. But we're working on it. We're getting there.
Yeah.
I want to know, do you think that men have a space to be completely honest?
No. What do you think?
I think we're
you guys are creating it.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we're getting there. You know, if you say certain things, especially with cancel culture nowadays,
yeah,
you know, is whatever one thing, it's kind of like how Dave Chappelle said, you know, in his stand up, you know, you say one thing or you did something in the past, nobody's going to forget it. They're always going to remind you. So for them to be honest, it's like, you know, they have to feel like they need a very customizable space. Like to me, like a barbershop.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, these men around here, like we understand there is a code to this.
Mm.
You know, like, like we're not going to go out and, you know, shame anybody or tell anybody what was talked about here. This is something that we have to create this comfortable space in.
Yeah.
But digitally, nah, it's kind of like kind of turning. But it's definitely still kind of hot out here. Yeah.
It's tough, man. I find that a lot of the healing that I've been able to grab has been from me hearing myself out loud.
100,000%. No. So here's the interesting thing. I was reading an article where it shared that between the age of 18 to 29, women cheat at higher rates than men.
Mm.
One of the most common things, when women call me, almost all of them have cheated before.
Mm.
And almost all the guys I talk to, they're complaining about women who cheated on them.
Mm.
But you don't hear that in society.
Mm.
Because there's no space for a man to cry about getting cheated on.
Yeah.
They'll call him a bitch. They'll say, oh, dang, you got play. You got, you know, Mr. took your girl. Mm. Like, so, but for women, it's like, oh my gosh, what happened? He did what to you? Oh my. So I feel like men don't see any positive feedback to being expressive, you know? And then especially, like you said, we grew up in the, you know, you guys West Coast 90s. I was New York 90s, you know what I mean? Yeah. So you grew up on this hood, tough culture where you can't be soft. It's telling people that you're hurting. So people, like there's no space for that.
Yeah.
So you better suck it in and shut up.
Yeah.
And so I think you're right, man. There's not a lot of spaces where men can just be honest. And then, without their masculinity to be questioned.
Yeah.
That's the biggest key right there. Yes. That is the biggest key. I mean, I find that, you know, the audience that see me, I get pretty, I overshare.
Yeah.
And I find that, you know, going to the masculinity thing, my masculinity is always in question on the internet.
Yeah.
All the time. It's never in question in person.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think a lot of that had to do with, most of the time, this podcast is new.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, I'm interacting with women on the internet.
Yeah.
That's most of the time, that's what they seen. And the way I interact with women is completely different than the way that I would have the conversation with you guys.
Yeah.
And so they don't see me displaying the masculine energy all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's always been in question.
Yeah.
And I find that once that becomes in question, it's so hard to combat that.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you do at that point.
Yeah.
Do you find that happens in dating often?
100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like that's why when women say we want guys to open up, we want guys to be like that, guys are like, it does nothing for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Guys know, like, all those emotional, feminine type skills that you guys ask for, it does nothing for me. Mm-hmm. As long as I have the swag, I have the confidence, I got the demeanor, I got the look, I got the money, I'm going to win.
Mm-hmm.
So I think definitely, you know, a lot of guys are seeing that is like, the masculine things are giving you the wins, but then when you're more emotional and feminine and stuff like that, or not just emotional and feminine, but when you're showing more feminine characteristics as a man, you see that guys like that are considered cornballs or lame or squares.
Or bitches.
Stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I've been called all kinds of things, you know, just a baby or, you know, just whatever. And that's in that, and women don't understand, like, you want that in the man, and then when they do that, you say he's a crybaby.
Yeah.
And it's like, now that guy would never open up to you ever again because you know, you called him a name.
Yeah.
And since you did that, it's like, nah,
you broke,
like,
that trust.
Exactly. Yes. So it's like, I like what Fees is saying, you get the benefits of masculinity. Like, you get the women, you get the respect, you get all those things. But when you show some kind of vulnerability, you know, you get your manhood in question.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's the point of actually doing it?
See, it's interesting. I've had the exact opposite experience.
Mm.
Being online has been the most, like, doing this podcast and stuff has been the most forgiving and allowing place for me to be expressive and to
I will admit, you have a very different experience than most people.
I mean, maybe that's, because I was going to say, like, I hear y'all saying all this, but for me, it's like, you know, I'm 37 years old.
Yeah.
So I grew up in a time where you could not, like, you know, stub your toe and cry, like, nah, man, suck it up. Go take a nap. You know, not stub your toe, but whatever the situation may be. So, like, to see the evolution to where now you can go online and say how you feel and people aren't judging you and stuff like that, like, I don't know, man. I feel like the internet has created a safe space, as long as, I guess, you do have to have people that will allow you in a way. But at the same time, you can't wait for somebody to allow you to be honest. Like, if you're going to share, you're going to share. You're going to open up, you're going to open up. So, yeah, I feel like it's been the most liberating times in space for men, at least, and, you know, for me. So I don't know. Maybe a different experience for me.
And you know what I think is interesting, Lowe's? Mm-hmm. This is what I believe. You give off a lot of masculine energy. And the reason why
you wouldn't get that according to JD's last video.
That's an inside joke. There was a caller who called in and was like, JD's the most masculine, attractive dude.
Doesn't even have a beard.
He took it very
have
personally.
A beard. We have beards.
Just saying.
I don't got no beard.
Yeah, a little 5 o'clock shadow.
And so one of the things I feel like, even like the way you talk, it's like cool, like relax, you know, kind of the smooth jazz.
He's
sure of himself. He's very calm.
Yeah.
So I feel like women, you're already perceived as masculine.
Yeah.
So they want to hear what you have to say. I think I think no one's going to question, like, oh, man. So I feel like a guy who's not as masculine as you are, and who may come off initially feminine, there may be more pushback on that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You do got the long hair. I was gonna say he got the long hair.
Even skin tone could be a fade to it. You know, like it'd be crazy to me when I play basketball and people foul me. I don't call no foul, and they be like, "Oh my god, you the first light skinned guy I ever hooped with that didn't call a foul."
Wow.
I'm like, dang, like, you know,
like, so everybody calls fouls, bro.
Yeah. If I can't shoot the ball, I ain't gonna call the foul. If I think I can make the shot, I'm not gonna call the foul.
Right. But I mean, at some point, everybody gets fouled. To the point where you go call
100%, but now they thinking like
not he played football. That's like why
it's a tendency. Yeah,
he played football. It's different. Nah, you know, basketball different.
I mean, the trenches.
Going back to your point about Los, I think that's a very key takeaway for if there is any men, the 10% of you guys. I know, but if there's anybody who's listening, I think in order for you to have those vulnerable sides, your masculinity can't be in question.
Yeah,
it can't be like well. You have to be able to display equally as much as your masculine side. And I think that that's where I always, I've been having this revelation where I used to give the advice that I said on your guys' podcast that like feminine energy would not hurt you in the dating experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I used to say that because my experience, my experience, my feminine qualities never ever stopped me from dating. I always had options.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I never had an issue with that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a thing that I didn't. This is gonna sound conceited, but I always was able to get the person that I wanted to get to.
Yeah.
And so I think it's wrong because I'm the exception. Yes. You know, I have a healthy amount of masculine energy that I give off, especially in person.
Yeah.
And so I think with that being said, you were so right about that.
Yeah.
The next question I want to dive into. And I think we kind of touched on it on your podcast. If that's already out, you guys should go check it out. Link up here. Appreciate but
if it's not out, then no link.
Most of cool.
I know.
If it's not out, we're gonna just link up.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
I see why you're the favorite. Though.
He's a cool guy, man.
So, do you think that the modern man today is the same as the man that was 60 years ago?
No.
Grandma and grandpa.
Jesus, no.
What are the biggest differences that we are seeing right now?
Men 60 years ago did like men shit.
Yeah.
Built houses and like went to war and shit. Like, I'm joking.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, I see a lot of things where it's like young dudes don't know how to like change a tire.
Mm-hmm.
Like things like that. You know what I mean? Like that's just basic. I feel like 101 manhood almost.
Yeah,
what I mean? Like maybe it's not, maybe it is, I don't know, but like there's just certain things as a man that I feel like physical labor. You should be able to put a little work in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Your back should get tired every now and then. You know what I mean? Maybe bruise your knuckles up here and there.
Yeah.
People today don't really value those types of things.
Yeah.
Do you think they're needed today?
I think they're always needed.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know how to use your hands.
Yeah.
Like this shit is all, I mean, like somebody could flip a switch on you.
Mm.
They just did it a year ago. Like we all sat in our houses for a year. What if the power went out?
Mm.
What if you couldn't go to the grocery store?
Yeah.
What if it did turn out that you had to supply your own food? What are you gonna do? Can you grow something? Do you know how to change your tire? Do you know how to, I don't know, patch a hole in the wall or in the roof if something goes bad? You have to know shit, man. You can't just be out here and all you know is a computer in your life.
Yes.
You're gonna fail at some point.
Yeah. What are some of your thoughts on the modern day man and the man that was 60 years ago?
Yeah, no, I think Los hit the nail on the head because I always say you got to think about to become more masculine, you have to do masculine things, you know, and to be more feminine, you have to do feminine things. And so I feel like Los pointed out, working with your hands. Back in the day, factories, coal mining, you're farmers, you know, like you did some type of work. Almost every guy work with their hands. And then on top of that, society back in the day was always in war. So you had to know, everyone was a warrior. Everyone could be drafted. Everyone potentially had to fight. So when you have that kind of world where the real fear wasn't that, man, what if I don't have Wi-Fi? But the fear was somebody's going to invade my village, rape my wife, kidnap my daughters, and murder me. It gives a different kind of, you need a different kind of man.
That wasn't 60 years ago, though.
Yeah. What I meant is that,
back then it was even more hyper-masculine.
Yeah, so when you think about that, that's where, the point I was trying to bring with that, that's where men evolve from. So when you think about when did war stop? Like, think about it. You know, Civil War, 1800, World War One, World War Two. Like, we were, humanity was always in war. Now, from the 60s on, it's been relatively peaceful. America has not been in any real type of war. No disrespect to those who fought in the Afghanistan wars, but America has not been in any home front wars. Like, whereas we had to do a draft and people were fighting in mass. And so when you have society where all these things have changed, these masking skills are now gone. And then the world changed. Like, all these service all these industry jobs became service industry. You know, factories were gone. Everything was automated. All the things that men were doing, those jobs were gone. So you have all these things that contributed to why men became more, less and less masculine, because you needed the masculine skills in the past. If you didn't have them, you would die. Like Lo said, if you didn't know how to hunt, you starve. If you didn't know how to make a fire, you froze. But nowadays, society has automated it so where you don't need to develop those masculine skills to survive.
The one thing I would ask is that in relationships, a lot of people like to think of exceptions. But if we go down the average, do you find that most of the time women are more happy when they're with a masculine presenting dude or a masculine dude and he's with a feminine woman? Do you think that they're more happy on average?
100%.
100%.
Not even a debate.
Not even
a debate. No, it's not even a debate.
It's not even a debate, because we ask. And when you think of, when you like, you gotta like listen to what they're saying. Like, for example, I always say, it's, imagine salsa dancing. The masculine is an initiator, the leader. The feminine is the willingful follower. You ask women, how happy are you when you're leading a relationship?
Yeah.
When you have to initiate and lead the relationship, how happy are you? And they're never happy. No matter how much success, no matter how much money they have, they're never happy being the leader, you know? And and so in regards to, not an average, I think literally 9 times out of 10.
So more than the average.
Yeah, 100%. Easily 9 times out of 10, when a woman wants to go salsa dancing, she will not be happy leading the dance throughout the whole night. And so it's also interesting in regards to the masculine conversation, because it's kind of the same sexually.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like, how many women are happy putting the man in positions majority of the time?
I always get tripped up talking about masculine and feminine energy because it's so hard.
Yeah.
Depending on the person that is thinking about it, it's so hard to pinpoint it, because I often find, I think I said this on your guys' podcast too, was that a lot of times when men see feminine energy in another man, they perceive it as insecurity, as, you know, this guy's just needing validation, or he's, you know, just a super obsessed with his appearance or whatever it may be. And they think, oh, well, that's feminine qualities. But in the reality, if a woman was like that, we wouldn't like that either. We wouldn't want an insecure woman. We wouldn't want a woman who's just needing validation. We wouldn't want a woman who is just like super obsessed with her appearance.
Nobody wants that.
Right. No, so I think it's interesting, because I think it does take that balance of both to really capture that long-term relationship.
100%. So there's this book by a guy named Corey Wayne. Kind of one of the forefathers to dating advice for men. And what he describes, he says, you know what? There's actually the skills you need to keep a girl. Sorry, the skills you need to attract a girl, not the same as the skills you need to keep a girl to an extent. And so he describes, like, really to attract requires a lot of masculine skills.
Yeah.
But to maintain a healthy relationship, you need also the feminine skills as well. Not you discard the masculine, but you need to now learn these feminine skills as well. And so I think too many guys don't understand that feminine isn't bad. It's not bad. People think masculine, good, feminine. No, it's not good or evil. Like, yin and yang is not good and evil. That's a misnomer. It's literally, it's the two sides of one coin. And so when you understand that there is benefits to femininity and there's benefits to masculinity, like women who are very organized in the home, that's a very analytical masculine trait. That's a good thing. A father who is very loving with his child, that's a feminine trait, but it's a good thing. So I think too many people simplistically understand masculine, feminine yeah. as only guys can be masculine, only women can be feminine, and don't understand that, no, you need both of them
yeah.
to be healthy in life.
Yeah, I get a little, not annoyed, but the whole masculine, feminine energy thing kind of, it gets me a little, it just makes me quizzical, because to me it's just energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you display quote unquote feminine traits with your homeboys. You've been doing it for years, and mm-hmm. you may not even realize it. You've been nurturing your friends for mm-hmm. years.
Mm-hmm.
Your boys came to you before with a broken heart over a woman before. Mm-hmm. What'd you do? Tell them to go rub dirt on it, like mm-hmm. get better? Nah, you listened to them. You sat yeah. there and you had a nurturing spirit with them. You yeah. you had compassion for them.
Yeah.
So we look at a lot of qualities and we say, well, that's feminine, that's this, but we don't even understand that we've been demonstrating them our whole lives.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
So to me, I don't know, the whole masculine versus feminine energy, I just think it's energy at the end of the day. I understand that there's traits that women are more likely to display and there's traits that men are more likely to display, but at the same time, they all commingle. We all display them.
Yeah, we're yeah. human, man. Yeah,
yeah, it takes that balance of it. I want to slide into a little bit of a dating, you know, we've been kind of talking about it, but like, I think our audience really wants to understand
mm-hmm.
what do men want out of a woman.
Yeah.
And I know that you guys are huge advocates yeah. for that.
Yeah.
And sometimes probably get you on some fire.
Yeah.
It probably gets you on some fire because yeah. Going back to our original statement is that can men talk honestly?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you think are some of the things that you could ramble off that yeah. men want out of a woman?
I think of a lot of F words.
Hey.
The first one is fine.
Mm.
Right, you have to look good.
Yeah.
Second one, you have to be fit. Men want a woman who's fit. A third thing is that, especially if he wants to have kids, you have to be fertile.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, if he wants to have kids, he wants to feel like he can have children with you. And then feminine, I said, I think if most guys want a woman, if he's a dance partner who's a willing, full, eager participant. And then the last thing I would also add is friendliness.
Mm.
I think sometimes women think, you know, being friendly and being nice is weakness and people take advantage of you. But I think men really gravitate towards really friendly women. So fine, fit, feminine, fertile, and friendly are some of the things that come into my mind.
You know, what a lot of women don't display nowadays is peacefulness.
Mm.
You know, I think a lot of women are combative or are telling men what to do, what to say, what they should do, what they shouldn't do. But, you know, women really don't develop that peaceful, you know, like that be his peace thing now. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like a joke. I don't want to hear that no more. You know, so I think that's is really big. I think supportiveness is really yeah. big. And, you know, a kind person.
You know, it's interesting you said that. So we had a guest on our good friend, Avion Crockett. And
shout out to Avion Crockett.
Yeah, when he was on, he said that same thing. He said he wanted peace.
Mm-hmm.
People were pissed.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
People were pissed. And so I
that's crazy that people are mad because he wanted peace.
He delivered it kind of wrong.
Oh, okay.
He delivered it kind of wrong.
Okay.
He said, all I want is peace. These motherfuckers are taught to go to war with men. You're smiling.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, my
but
God.
So I, as a man, I understood him.
Yeah.
So I was trying to defend him.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you the question that was asked over and over in that comment section because of that. So they said, okay, if you want peace, what are you doing to add to that woman becoming
Let me jump into
angry. Okay, I see.
Yeah.
No.
To mess your piece up.
Here is okay. So this is gonna get into a little biblical theology. So I don't want to bore people with this, but
there's a lot of people. Yeah.
So there's this concept in the book of Ephesians where it says husbands love your wives
mm-hmm.
like Christ loved the church.
Mm-hmm. Ephesians 12.
So it's this idea that women love this verse because like, yo, husbands, love your wife. Christ sacrificed himself for the church. You sacrifice. You love her unconditionally. So the rule is you love him. Or he loves you no matter what.
Yeah.
No matter how he feels, he has to love you. But what I've noticed is that women require unconditional love, but men get conditional respect.
Yep.
Meaning that I will give you peace as long as you don't make me mad.
Yep.
As long as you don't do this. As long as you don't do that. So that even that question is like, why are you being peaceful? That should be who you are as a person. Mm. I should be peaceful to Jared, to Lowe, to Chris, no matter how they treat me. Mm. Yes, if they're rude, I dismiss myself, but I don't be rude because they're rude. Mm. I should be a peaceful person regardless. But why are you feeling like my peace is dependent upon how you behave to me? Mm. No, you should be a person who does the right thing regardless of what the other person does. And so I think it's extremely important that that question constantly reminds me of the conditionality of men getting peace and respect. Mm. Whereas when it comes to love, I can't say I'll love my, but my wife says she's not loved. Well, what did you do to not get love? Yeah, well, how did you behave so I don't love you?
It happens. It happens often. Yeah. It happens. I see a lot of times when somebody ends in a bad relationship, they go through a bad breakup.
Yeah.
I hear it all the time. It's like, oh, well, he was manipulative. Mm. He's a narcissist.
Mm-hmm, of course. They love the N word.
They say the worst things mm-hmm. about this person that they chose mm-hmm. ultimately.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so I find that it's interesting because nobody really goes inward.
Yes. You
know? It's really difficult. And I get shit all the time for saying that. But they're like, well, you have pretty privileged.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
you got many of options. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, I'm not negating the pretty privilege. I'm not negating the options. Mm-hmm. I understand that I have probably afforded more mistakes than others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in the advice should still stand.
Yeah.
If you end a relationship, takes two to tango.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that there's not people out there that are manipulative, that are cheaters, that are wrong people. But what you can own from that is like, what red flags did I miss?
Mm-hmm.
When we look at those people who are narcissists, because that's an extreme word.
Yes.
They can't hide it.
Yeah. That's accountability.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard for them to even be accountable sometimes to really understand. Like, you know what? Maybe I don't have peace in me. Maybe I'm not the best listener or best communicator. When I get in my feelings, I just see red and I just go off. Yeah. They don't understand that. That is a bad thing. That's a bad character trait that you probably need to get better at. You know, so that accountability piece is something that they have to really look inward and understand that you have to get better as a person first.
Yeah.
If you get better as a person first, then you get better as a spouse.
Yeah.
You know, so that's something that they have to understand that in their mind.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what I do want to make clear because
I ain't trying to get you canceled, brother.
Clean some shit up.
Because the accountability thing has got us in trouble.
Oh, okay.
Got us in trouble. So I want to dive into it just for the viewer's sake. You hold that same accountability
100,000%. 100,000%.
And that is the biggest difference 100%. Is that you're not like men are just as victims
women are the only problem.
And you like to go biblical a lot.
Yeah,
there's like that saying of like, I don't know, I'm paraphrasing for people who really don't know how to read it. But it's like that, don't allow your brother's sin pull you into sin.
Mm, yes.
So if your man does something that would trigger you off, we shouldn't allow that to pull us into get us out of character.
100%.
Right? Exactly. No, and vice versa.
I love that point that you brought up because I tell people, because people lose that in the roommates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The goal of the roommates is to help men become the best version of themselves physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, all of these things. We hold men to never make excuses and to improve their lives.
Yeah.
That's what the whole purpose of it.
Yeah.
Every single thing is to call men out to be accountable for the wrongdoings that they have, the shortcomings that they have, the inadequacies, and to become the best version of themselves. And we'll give you every tool and resource possible to achieve that goal.
Yeah.
So we're calling men to greatness, but at the same manner, men are not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Women are also not perfect.
Yeah.
So I think the accountability message is always, what about men? No, we said men. We start off with us.
Yeah.
We start with Hafiz has to do this. Chris has to do this. And then out of that, yo, men got to do this. And as men do it, we all have to do it. So I think the accountability message is something that every human, it's not just a women thing, it's a human being thing.
Yes.
Every human must hold themselves accountable to the wrongdoing they've done to other and to the inadequacies and shortcomings that exist in their life.
100%. And even to add on to that, you know, we have been accountable in our lives and we've seen the benefits of that.
Yeah.
You know, so not only benefits of our friendship or our business or our relationships, just as a general person.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, we understand that we're never going to be a completed process at all. The level of process is every single day we're trying to get better. We're trying to get, you know, greater heights, all these things. It's a lifelong journey, not 5 years. So what we say. It's
jungle in here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
like, a real life jungle.
Yeah,
if you want to close that window, you can. But
I'm good.
You're good? I'm chilling. Like,
yeah. So like what we say into the camera is not just a one-way ticket.
Yeah.
You know, it's a round trip. It's like we're saying this. And we also trying to imply that in our lives as well.
Yes.
So that's what we trying. That's what we preach. So we're not just saying women just be accountable. Everything will be good.
Yeah.
Wash my hands.
Yeah. Right. But I just had to, you know, I know this.
Yeah.
Maybe some of the viewers don't know
this. Yeah, I understand. Clean your comments up.
I feel like, you know, it's important, and they're very vocal.
Yeah.
We'll say that. We're very, and I appreciate it. You know, we appreciate it. But so this next question that I have, from our vantage point as men, why do we think relationships fail?
Women are crazy. Put them comments, baby. Let's go.
Hey, whatever gets us in the algorithm.
The algorithm. Yeah.
What do you think, Lowe's?
Why do I think most relationships fail? People are bad at communicating.
Okay.
That's probably the main reason. Because people don't know how to communicate what they want, what they need from each other. So maybe somebody's getting on somebody's nerves and they don't say something right away and they just let it build and build and build until it's something that they can't, you know, stomach anymore. So then they do, they go step out or they do something like that. You know what I mean? Mm. So I think ultimately it's because people don't know how to communicate to each other.
That's good.
That's big. You want to go? Or you
yeah,
want
I could
line?
Go. So this is going to be, I think there's two reasons. And I think number one reason is they don't know what they actually qualify for, and so they can't keep up the relationship that they're in. Maybe they attracted that mate, and they're trying to make it work, but they just don't have the skills or the compatibility to really make this work. I think the other reason is people don't possess the shut the fuck up filter. Shan has that saying, and I think it's very important. I think it's very important because there's times where Shan might do something. Sometimes I don't gotta.
Yeah.
I don't got to harp on her.
Yeah.
She's intelligent. It's the reason why I chose her. She's going to be able to figure out. She's going to know myself, you know, or I don't need to say it right then. Maybe I need to calm down so that when I do say it, it's not an issue. And then the other thing is I think people in specific in relationships, so really three, I think people in relationships, they don't know how to put their partner in their place without provoking that ego.
Yeah, that's big.
They would try to put them in their place, but then ego is just shattered and they go crazy.
Misery loves company. I think a lot of people are hurt and they are broken and they look for this guy or girl to give them validation.
Yeah.
And they stay in misery and they ignore the red flags just because, you know, like I'm not happy with my business.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm not happy with, you know, where my life is going, but, you know, I have her, even though she's not the most, you know, healthy girl for me, or this guy is not really doing it. That comfortability keeps people there all the time. And I think when they ignore the red flags or ignore or they don't want to take that step of, you know, getting out of that relationship, that's eventually it's going to blow up.
Yeah.
You know, it's a ticking time bomb. So I think that's another reason why relationships fail.
I think you guys all hit the nail on the head. So I just want, I don't want to talk for talking's sake. So there's nothing that comes into my mind besides people pick badly. People pick really badly because I think our criteria is so backwards. I've always said the number one quality in a partner is somebody that wants to be with you. Like, that should be number one. They really want to be with you. Hmm. How many years, if we say we were dating for 10 years, how many years did we spend with somebody who did not want to be with us? Mm. How much time did we invest in somebody who did not want to be with us?
And how many times have you stayed with somebody
yes.
that you knew it was over?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of the things where it's like we really do a bad job of picking. Mm. So yeah. I think that's one of the key things that
that's
really affected my life.
That's crazy. That's heavy. That's heavy.
Yes, yeah.
You know, it's interesting. To wrap up this dating portion, this is something that I'm actually battling with and going through. And I'm curious, I look at you gentlemen as men.
Yeah.
And, me and my wife started a business together. Mm-hmm. And I battle with my mind. And this could be an insecurity thing. I'm mm-hmm. being vulnerable here. In working with her, mm-hmm. sometimes I feel less of a man because I didn't create my own vehicle. Mm. And it's a real insecurity in me. Mm-hmm. And it bleeds over sometimes because there will be times where I'm really excited about the work that we're doing. And then I'll have a switch that goes off. And I don't know if it's like an internal masculine drama that I have going on. And I'll start putting more effort into what I'm trying to build outside of what we are building together.
Yeah.
And it causes friction in our relationship.
That's really good.
So how, if I was somebody that came to one of you guys like, yo, I need some advice. I work with my wife. We built a multi-million-dollar company together, but I still don't feel like a man.
Wow. No. Man, that's deep. And you'd be surprised at how many guys feel that same exact thing. And so the very first thing that I try to allow men to understand is that we define our masculinity by competency and success. And that's one of the biggest problems. Because masculinity has nothing to do with competency and success. There are guys right now making $28,000 a year as janitors, you know, who are masculine, amazing guys. There are guys right now, probably fishermen in some rural country, you know, and they're masculine, amazing guys. So I think the first thing that you got to realize is the money, that's not masculine, you know? And so I think to me, the masculine is the leader, being a leader and being proactive and going after what you want in life. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing right now. You're saying, I want to go after, whether it's the business, whether it's my business, I want to go after these things. And as long as you're going after it and you're being proactive and you're pursuing it and you're being ambitious, whether it's your wife's and yours company or your own, you are walking in who you are as a man. Mm. And so I think sometimes so much of society's insecurities plague us.
Yeah.
Where we're like, if I haven't built a castle myself, I'm not a man. Well, sometimes the team is built differently.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes they may start the company, but you take it to the next level.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And vice versa. So I think it's not feeling incompetent because you're not achieving whatever financial or monetary success you believe that you're called to achieve, where you being a man, waking up every morning and wanting to be the best version of yourself and work recklessly to achieve a life for your family. Yo, you are the most masculine man and you deserve all the praises for doing that alone.
Oh man, that's huge.
Yeah. No, 100%. I would ask that brother, just like what, he has to figure out how he defined value in himself.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing, you know, a lot of guys, you know, unknowingly and unhealthy, you know, place value on themselves and how much money they're bringing in. Yep.
Yeah. No, what were you going to say, Los?
No, I was agreeing with him.
Yeah. And, you know, that's definitely something that I wrestle with. You know, Shan's always being like, honestly, I wouldn't be able to build this company without you.
Yeah, man. One hand wash the other, both hands wash the face, bro.
Yeah, no, and she definitely, you know.
That's a bar. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He's been around music, dog. I see what he's doing. Hey,
yeah. That's old people in the South right there. That ain't got nothing to do with music. Yeah, that's
real. But you know, I do find myself, you know, I internally know these things. Mm-hmm. And I know these things conceptually. And I'll be on it, right? And yeah. I'll be like, no, I'm good, I'm chilling, and it's no big deal because I do put that effort. And the business that we created is very important to me.
Yeah.
But I often find myself being like, I don't know if I would feel fulfilled until I build one equally as big. And I know it's completely wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know it's completely like, and it's not healthy.
No, you sound like Prince Donnell. Mm. So we had an episode with Prince Donnell and Dana Chanel, mm. and he felt the same exact way.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, he felt, and to me, I even think you feeling that way is a masculine thing in and of itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what I've noticed is that real masculine men don't like handouts. No. Not saying you got a handout.
Yeah. No, but yeah.
If you feel like you didn't build something, even though you have, men don't like it.
Yeah.
So I feel like that you constantly feeling that way, even though you both built it together, is showing me that this is your essence.
Yeah.
You know, but like you said, you have to understand that, let's say if I started a company and I'm like, yo, Jared, I want you to help come alongside it. And now let's help me take it from $1 to $50 million. And yeah. you do that for me. Are you less of a man
no.
because you came into my company?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah. it's like, I think we have to understand that just because you're not this person initiating the idea doesn't mean you're less valuable to the team.
Man, mm-hmm. that's huge to yeah. hear, first of all. Yeah. I appreciate that, yeah. by the way, from all of you guys. Thank you, man. It helps me.
Yeah. It's interesting. Something you said made me think, though, because you said that that's a masculine trait, right?
Yes.
Traditionally, though, wouldn't you say insecurity is attributed to women?
No, see, that was what we were saying earlier, was that, like, that is not a woman trait. It's a negative trait.
So what, yeah. what I was saying, well, so, Lopes, go ahead.
No, but I was just looking at that more like I would, and not to knock you, Jared, but yeah. like for me, that insecurity is more of I won't even call it a feminine trait. I'll just say that it would be more masculine for you to be able to step into that role and embrace it.
Yeah.
And not, for me at least, I would yeah. look at that and be like, damn, like how you're that secure in yourself that even though traditionally people would look at you and be like, you know, you had to do it with your wife. The honest thing is you did That's it, real. You know, you yeah. did it as a team with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like you should embrace that shit, bro.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
it should
be it's something
that,
up,
right. Like that's yeah. something that as a man is difficult to do. So to be able to do that is
that's a
huge step in masculinity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the, it's something that, and I, to be full transparent, yeah. it's something I actually battle with.
No, I know.
I
know
wrestle
you do.
With it heavy.
Yeah. yeah. And to me, the way I think about it, cause Lowe's is 100% correct. Cause the first thing is that, the masculine, somebody once described it like when a woman gets upset, like it's like a thunderstorm, like it's an emotion, everything is just a lot of emotion, but a mm-hmm. man has to be a rock in the storm, right? As a man, mm-hmm. we don't have the luxury to get all emotional, like if somebody, Lord, you know, hopefully it doesn't happen, but somebody broke into the house, it's not the time as a man to panic,
yeah.
you know, it's not the time to start screaming and crying, and yeah. you know, it's the time yeah. to protect and to be,
yeah.
so I think Los is 100% right, the true masculine call is that, yo, like I'm doing what everybody else is saying is weak, and I'm doing it, and I know it's strong. I don't care what
you're
you guys say.
You're succeeding at it,
yeah. exactly.
You're killing at it,
exactly. Like, yeah. And so I think that's important. But I guess what I was thinking about was that there's certain things that men are uncomfortable feeling. Mm-hmm. I would say that women can feel comfortable having a man take care of them. You know, mm-hmm. like most women will feel comfortable that way. Oh, he takes care of me. Da da da. But men do not feel comfortable knowing that Chris is taking care of me.
Mm-hmm.
If I knew that I could not live without Chris and he was paying all my bills, taking care of me as a man, I can't sleep at night.
It yeah. hurts and
so. Yeah. Yeah.
We say,
I was like, nah, you shouldn't be able
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
You need to get up and go get something.
But exactly.
But that's not your situation. And I'm not saying that you're no, saying no, that yeah, that's yeah, his
yeah.
situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like you, that's the thing. Like I feel like you kind of feel like that.
I do, and yeah. and I think the reason why I feel that way is heavy to do with perception in society.
Exactly, that's
yeah.
what I was.
That's what I was gonna say. You gotta unindoctrinate yourself out
yes.
of that
yeah.
brainwashing.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
at the end of the day, bro, like, and Shan has said this before, y'all, she wouldn't be where she is without you.
No, yeah,
and I know you said you wouldn't be where you are without her. So
yeah.
it's like again, that was you know I mean you.
Yeah,
I get it. It's hard to just be like yeah, like. You know, traditionally you want to do your own thing. Yeah. You want to be able to just say, yeah, I did this.
Yeah.
But there's nobody did it by themselves,
yeah.
bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They one person may have got the credit, but I guarantee you, bro, Steve Jobs had women on his squad.
Yeah. yeah.
What's his name? You know what I mean? Yeah. The Amazon dude had women on his team. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and a lot of these dudes that become super successful, they had a wife that was holding them down. They had a woman that was, you know, encouraging them and helping them build. Even though she may not have been on payroll,
yeah,
he wouldn't have been able to do it without that woman there helping him. So, I mean, yeah.
And bro, then you got to also yourself, understand man. That it's yeah. like, then it's seasonal too, right?
Yeah.
So, like, this may be the season where Shan, you and Shan's business is going to blow up, right? And
yeah.
this, and then maybe 20 years from now, it's going to be your season where it's only your business that's going to take off. So yeah. to me, like I said, it's understanding that it's who you are as a person. What mm-hmm. are you walking into? And the point, like Los was saying, that I was saying is that you're not comfortable with someone taking care of you.
Mm-hmm.
So that alone shows me you're walking in your masculinity,
yeah.
which
yeah.
is why even though you're having a company and you're working as hard as she is, just because she's in it, you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Where to me it's like, no, you need to realize that you are a hardworking man regardless of it, and really view that right now in a season of my life, whether it's for this season, for the lifetime, yo, we're a team in this matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, then things, we've all, when it comes to companies, no man just starts one company.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, you know, there's going to be multiple companies that you start in the future. So yeah. just right now, just because in this season you have a company with your wife, has nothing to do.
No, yeah. And I appreciate.
And you're not Homer Simpson, too. Homer Simpson got a job. Hold on. That's not even a good comparison.
Yeah.
Homer works.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what
yeah.
I mean? Homer deserves his duff.
Yeah.
But you're not, you know what I mean? You're not some like deadbeat husband that just sits around all day, like chilling.
Yeah, she
got to
drag you out the bed.
Yeah, like you're one of the hardest working people I know. Like, I have to work hard because of you sometimes, because I'm like, damn, this motherfucker done edited 17 videos, shot Shan, fucking made a TikTok, he's doing a new dance, like, fuck, now I got it, like, you know what I mean? It yeah. makes me yeah. have to work harder because of how hard you work. So
I
like,
appreciate that.
Yeah,
yeah. And I think, you know, it's like I was saying earlier, something
like a bitch, bro. No,
what's a bitch at?
I think I understand it conceptually, and I think, you know, one thing that I always do, I've said it earlier, is I overshare. I like to just put it on the table.
Yeah.
So that was just kind of like a thing that I knew was a personal thing that I'm battling with. Yeah. So I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on it.
It's funny because this is guy I know. His name is I don't know him personally, but his name is Jesse Itzler.
Yeah.
And his wife has a I forgot his wife's name, but she has a company called Spanx.
Oh, yeah.
You know Spanx? Yeah.
We all know Spanx.
Yeah, everyone knows Spanx. Yeah, you know.
Everybody knows Spanx.
And so Spanx is a billion-dollar company.
Yeah.
His wife is a billionaire.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's very easy for him to feel like, oh, she's killing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's doing it. But now he celebrates that, because we also gotta remember, just because someone makes more does not mean they're more masculine than you are. Because that's not fair. Or more valuable than
unless
you.
Unless you're Stedman.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I'm joking. You good. You live in the dream. You live in the dream.
Yeah.
Look.
So, like, there's teachers right now who their passion is teaching.
Yeah.
They're making 45. Mm. Their wife's passion is, you know, being a pediatrician. She's making 400.
Yeah.
He is not less of a man for picking his passion. You know, so I think sometimes when it comes to the money, that trips us up where we think, oh, because she's making more, or, you know, she's doing this, or I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Being proactive and going after what you want in life and working hard, whether you're the janitor, whether you're the teacher, whether you're the CEO, whether you're the billionaire, yo, that is the call of a man. And so I just want to, I know a lot of guys, because we got to talk about it, like, the world is changing.
Yes.
Not every man is going to be making more than his wife. Not every man is going to be, you know, the more successful person. Like, things change.
Yeah.
And so I just think it's really, men have to walk in, like Lo said, be confident who you are as a man and not let society dictate who you are internally.
Yeah, stop listening to the noise, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, bump all them people.
Yeah.
Man. They don't know the real.
All these things are definitely facts, and it's helpful, man. I do really appreciate it. And, you know, all these things I'm hearing, I'm digesting, and it does really help me. It does. Because today was definitely a tough one. Today was a tough one today. So, this next portion
chin
of the
up,
video,
young man.
I'm not sad. This next portion of the video is gonna be the last thing we do. I want to talk about a viral moment that you guys had.
Okay.
I want to talk about this viral moment. I had two viral moments I want to talk about. We actually kind of already talked about it earlier, so okay. I'm going to skip that one and do this next one. All right, so for the people out there that haven't seen, you were on Fresh and Fit.
Yeah.
Fresh and Fit.
Yeah.
And there was three women
yes,
on there.
Yes.
There was three women on there, and they all did OnlyFans.
Yes.
Well, two of them did.
One in the middle did.
One
in the middle.
One was thinking about it.
She probably thinking about it.
The one in the middle did.
You made how much? Wait a second, what?
But two of them did.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you guys were trying to have a conversation. I didn't get to see the whole interview.
Yeah, yeah.
I only saw the one that went viral.
Yeah.
But from what it looked like, it looked like you guys were trying to have an open conversation about future.
Yeah.
And...
Not Future the Rapper. Future
not Future the Rapper. The future of...
Their future.
The future.
The future.
Yeah.
Not even just theirs, because I think the advice that you gave them... Before I get there, hold on. Let me set this up for them, if they haven't seen it. So, you guys were having that conversation, and two of them were giving you major pushback.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason they were giving you major pushback was because you were basically letting them know that OnlyFans is finite,
mm-hmm.
it's fleeting,
mm-hmm.
and it's here now.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do with the money now?
Yeah. I can tell, like, I kid you not, when at the beginning of the conversation, you know, I was personally just like, I just want to chill today,
yeah.
you know, because what's funny is I have a video coming out tomorrow where the day before I was on Fresh and Fit show tomorrow, like, you guys are, this video's gonna come out later. Coming out on this Thursday. It's out already.
It came out already.
It came out already that from initially on the Fresh and Fit, where I kind of like got in a, did a very similar discussion with a girl. So I was like, today, let me just come and learn.
Mm.
So I really wasn't coming to like debate. I was just coming to learn and hear these women's stories.
Yeah.
And so eventually, when she was beginning to share all these things wrong with men, I was just curious to knowing from them, what do you find may be wrong about you? Because like the first half of the episode, I was just chilling, just, and they were constantly, men don't do this, men don't do that. And they were just constantly going on why they don't like men. And I simply asked them, I said, yo, there's a lot of things that, you know, you guys have shared that men do that you don't like. Is there anything that you do that men don't like? And what the woman shared to me was, okay, what men don't like about me is I'm strong and I'm successful. And I said, okay, what are you, a lawyer or a doctor? Mm. Da, da, da. And she said, well, I've been doing OnlyFans for the past year.
Mm.
And so to me, it was just like the perspective was so unhealthy to me.
Mm.
Because every guy I know who's like really successful, he views himself as like, this money can go away tomorrow.
Mm.
He views himself like, I have not made it. I have not arrived. And so to me, when she said the problem was I'm successful, to me, I knew the problem was that you were arrogant, which is why, which really what I wanted to bring up. Mm. Throughout this whole conversation, you've been talking so down upon men. You have an arrogance problem.
Mm.
You have a pride problem. You have an attitude problem. Mm. That's an issue. So her viewing herself as successful, I wasn't demeaning her. I was saying like, yo, this ties into your arrogance that you're 23 years old and you think you're so much better than everybody else.
Mm.
And so to me, that was the gist of the thing. I wasn't telling her she couldn't do OnlyFans. I wasn't telling her, you know, what my personal opinion on OnlyFans was. I was simply trying to bring it up to let you know that, yo, this arrogance and this attitude can deter you from experiencing not only business relationships, but romantic relationships in the future.
Mm. And the response from women were probably upset.
Yeah.
And the response from men were lifting you up.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting to me.
Yeah.
It's very interesting because I think on the broad stroke scale, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything you said is valid as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very important because that goes back to that inward thing.
Mm-hmm.
Worry about yourself. I get it. Your experience with men is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it that your experience with dating is bad.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just your experience,
yeah.
You know? And so I find that outside looking in, I'm able to see both sides, right? Mm. I find that a lot of men on the internet and I'm not saying this is you, but I feel like the men lifted you up because there's this obsession with being like attacking OnlyFans girls with being like, oh, well, your money's going to run out. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, your licks are going to fade. Mm-hmm. All that shit may be true.
Yeah.
But I always have taken the approach of like, do what you got to do. But I find that there's a lot of men on the internet who are obsessed with calling these women out.
Yeah.
Because they can't fuck them.
It's because they can't fuck them. That's like part of it.
If we're going to call a spade because you can't fuck her, so you're mad at her. Like, there's no other reason that you would shame a woman for doing something that you actually enjoy. Because I guarantee you watch porn, and if you don't, you're lying, because how would you know she's doing OnlyFans?
She said it on the podcast.
Therefore, you're just mad because you can't fuck her. Yeah. That's all it is.
So with that being said, what do you think about that? Or do you think there's a lot of validation for these men?
Man, that's a great question. You said something?
I was going to say, because, you know, there are valid points. I watched the interview, so I know what her attitude was. That was specifically her problem.
You know, it was excruciating to sit there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. You were sitting there like, you were right.
I was like, nah. Yeah. I didn't want to talk to him. Yeah. Yeah. Like,
So with that particular situation, I think there was a lot of OnlyFans girls who felt personally attacked because they're like, well, I'm investing in this, and I'm in doing this, and I'm doing this. And you weren't speaking for all of them.
Yeah.
You were just like, I've sit here and watch you talk for an hour.
Yeah.
So I know what you're needing. Yeah. So yeah, what do you think about that? I know it's a lot.
No, that's a lot. So I wanna address you. Oh, I'm gonna answer your last question. I wanna go back.
Okay.
To the OnlyFans girls who are like, I'm investing, I'm doing all these things. I don't deny that there's women who are doing whatever and they're investing and being wise with their money. Mm-hmm. But the OnlyFans problem, like I told the girl, is the NFL problem. It's the rapper problem. It's being 20 years old and coming into large sums of money immediately. See, you guys do music, right? You know that the one-hit wonders who get a ton of money immediately, they never tend to pan out.
Yeah.
Usually the best way of going about it is to grind. It's to learn how to be faithful with $5 and then $50 and $500 and $5,000 and $50. That's the best way to go about it. But the sad reality is when you're young and you come into lump sums of money and you think you've arrived, that's how the quickest way that you lose money. So to me, the OnlyFans dilemma wasn't just about women. It's about anybody who immediately comes into money, large amounts of money, whether you're making $20,000 or $200,000 a month. You have to realize that when you're young, you don't know money. You don't know investments. And that's why so many people blow it. And so to your other part of the conversation about why men are mad, Los is right. They want these women. And I think to a lot of guys, it's hurtful if they're being honest.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's kind of like seeing an ice cream cone on the ground. It's like, dang, I wanted that, but it's now wasted. You know what I mean?
Just work on your character a little bit.
What is it about that? It's not so much more of a question, but I guess just what are y'all's, you know, thoughts on it, I guess. But I find it really interesting, like, and I guess it's because of the access maybe that OnlyFans provides for people, but guys didn't get mad at porn stars like 15 years ago when they couldn't fuck them.
So, know what I think it is? It's like, there's this... Somebody described like there's like this Madonna whore complex that guys have where you one girl is like the slut, the whore, and the other girl's like the Madonna, the queen, the wife, the mother.
Yeah.
So I think in the porn era, it was like we knew those girls all whores.
Yep.
They're whores.
Yep.
So to keep the whores over there, right?
Remember, he's speaking in analogy right now. Before y'all get mad, he's not calling all porn star whores. He's just saying, and back then, the mindset that's how was people looked at the porn stars as whores.
So men were like, okay, that's the category. I think the fear is, like Los was saying, these guys want these girls, and they view them, they're transforming from Madonna to whores.
Yeah.
So you're seeing, like, the girl that I wanted to date, now she's, like, doing porn. Now she's doing, so now I wanted to be with you, and now I can't. Yeah. Or I'm insecure about it. So I think that's what a lot of guys bother them about OnlyFans is that these are women that, like, they think is, like, the average everyday woman who's now turning into a porn star. So now when I want to wife them up, there's not a lot of women available because they're all into this type of sex work.
That's very interesting. That's a good point. I didn't even think about that way. That's a good point because it's, like, it takes a lot of confidence to date someone who has been doing OnlyFans. And I think women don't necessarily think about that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think men think about it. It's so interesting too, because they are the ones who are paying for it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's so backwards the way men
be
think.
Angry.
Yeah.
You know,
nah, it's crazy.
It's very interesting.
Could y'all date somebody that does OnlyFans?
Hell no,
never in a billion years.
No, you can't. No. It's the association with me. You know, I think I think like guys that think like we do, it's like you are an extension of me. You know, and that's how you get down. That's how you roll. Mm. It's just like, I can't be associated with that. And then also, I want kids one day.
Mm, they'll find it on there. Okay, that makes sense.
I mean, I'm just, if I'm interviewing somebody to be my wife, the most important interview of my life, I will judge you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to judge. Yeah. And if you setting up the camera, you hitting record, you get in front of the camera, you start dancing, you start taking calls off in front of the camera, you see that little move, asking for money, I'm judging crap out. You're done.
Tap.
To me,
tap.
To me, it's two things. The first thing to me is the family dynamic. It's like, you know, you want someone that you can bring home to your mother. And that your mother and your sister, and obviously you shouldn't be concerned about them. But this part, if you have a good family, you want someone that fits your family well. But to me, it's never about, because OnlyFans, there's girls who cook on OnlyFans.
Cap.
We know, you guys know,
but we know what it is. Like, we can't,
the ones who are making real money on OnlyFans.
Yeah, we can't pretend.
To me, it's, I'm never about the action, about the mindset. Yeah. Yeah. What is going into your mind? To me, it's a very short-sighted mindset. You know, like, yes, is there a few girls who are doing it for a few years to take money to now invest it in businesses? Cool, whatever. Yeah, that's true. But to me, it's like, I don't want somebody to be my wife who has a short-sighted mindset, who wants short-term money, short-term success, who wants these things. So to me, that mindset, I'm not... It's usually other things as well that come with. It's not just that she's a perfect angel who just happens to, you know, have sex on camera or happens to post naked pictures online. There's probably other things that got
it
you
bleeds
here.
Out. It bleeds
yeah,
out.
And so to me, there's so many other layers to how you got there, and those things contribute to me not being able to date you, as well as the whole world seeing you naked, and that's public problem.
But it's so interesting, your girl, because it's so interesting, because I see a lot of them, they end up in relationships and they end up with older men.
I was like, I could date one too,
but
I wouldn't want to, but I will feel
like, not to cut you off. I do feel like that I walk the line of fire a lot in every day of my life. So just like they're saying, it bleeds over.
Yeah.
You can see a lot of areas of my life where I walk the fire a lot. Yeah. So I go back to that same thing. You know, when we're talking about averages, I am definitely an exception when it comes to dating.
I think, to your point, I could date somebody who was doing OnlyFans if her mindset wasn't, I want to do this for the rest of my life.
Mm.
Like, that to me would be a little short-sighted.
But what if she does want to do it for the rest of her life?
I probably wouldn't date
her. So my question to you, Lopes, is, I agree with you 100%, but here's the thing I thought about. It's like, certain decisions that you make today can affect the rest of your life. Because back in the day, I would tell the story, when girls were strippers, a girl would be a stripper in Seattle, to make her money, then move to a place like Atlanta. No one knows who she is. Take the money, start doing real estate, start a business, because she knows that her reputation is in Seattle, but now in Atlanta, no one knows who she is, so she can successfully do business.
Yeah.
The thing about OnlyFans is that kind of follows you, you know? And so now it affects you into business. People can look it up and stuff like that. So I wonder, Los, do you feel as though a woman who neglects or doesn't consider that her reputation, even if she wanted to do another business, follows her, kind of makes you feel like she's also short-sighted in her mindset?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. Depending on what her end goal is, like, you have to be aware that you know, the actions that you're taking now can impact that.
Yeah.
Like, if you're doing OnlyFans, but your ultimate goal is to be, you know, the evening news anchor for CNN, it's probably not going to happen once they do a little, you know, background on you, because they don't want somebody who's, you know, busting it wide open. But if you want to be a veterinarian, you can do that.
Yeah.
Like, that's not an issue. Like, so I think, I mean, obviously it would be.
What do you say to his concern about the family dynamic of, like, having children that can look it up?
I mean, yeah, that's, that could be an issue.
It's a heavy
I mean,
one.
But I guess you would have to, I don't know, like, I don't know if you want to try to be preemptive with that. Like, that may not be, because it may
Mommy,
not have.
So what's you know, interesting
it may
was
not be an issue. It may be that, you know, she did it 15. Like, I mean, I don't know how far back are people. If I got with a woman today, right, and we had kids, 16 years, 15 years from now, I have, you know, I have a son who's a teenager. He's in high school. The odds of them finding her sex tapes at that point with the amount of porn or, you know, shit that is being produced on a daily basis and put out there. Mm-hmm. If her shit is on OnlyFans, like, I mean, the people that have screen recordings are my age at this point. Unless it's like my son's friend's dad's like, you know, what your mom used to do. Like, you know what I mean? So I don't see it being a huge problem personally.
Yeah,
I mean, it could be an issue if, like, by some circumstance the kid found out, but I mean, then you just got to cross that bridge when you cross it. People fuck, man. Like, how do you think you got here? It just so happened we used to get paid at point. So,
no, because what I was saying was there's a very popular OnlyFans girl, and she was on a podcast.
Yeah.
And she has a son who's in high school. Yeah. And the guy, and the guy in the podcast asked him, he was like, don't they bully your son and make fun of your son? And her, what she said was, no one makes a big deal of it. So this is like a popular lady and has an 18-year-old son. So I agree with you. I think there is, it goes back to what can you take. And what I've also noticed is that guys who can tolerate women like that are usually not the monogamous type. They're usually more the free spirit, you know, like West Coast.
That might be a fair assumption.
You know,
that makes sense.
That's what I'm saying. Y'all boys.
See, I'm not from the West Coast. I grew up down south.
But what I'll say, like, to me, if you're an element, you're air. You're a free spirit.
Yeah,
you're
come on, don't play, bro. You're chill.
I mean, but that's I'm not West Coast. I was just clarifying that.
So what I've noticed is like, So what I've noticed is that guys who these women usually date are more of that free spirit type. Yeah.
I mean, you kind of have to be.
Exactly, and that's the point. You have to be.
If I'm a Bible thumper, I'm not gonna get along with a girl that's, you know, doing OnlyFans.
Yes. So then, with that being said, it's kind of like, no disrespect, is like she's public in her dating, mean that other guys see her sexually, but he's also public in his dating where he's with other women. So that's kind of like, I've noticed that the guys that they date, those are also the guys into the swinger parties, into the threesomes, into the all these.
I don't do swinger parties.
They walk that back.
You know, it's
not doing that.
Clear it up for the comments.
I've been invited to a few of my days. Stop that.
You attended a few swingers or something?
No, so I've been invited to a few. I ain't never go. Oh, no.
That boy Lowe's going for a swing tonight.
I ain't seen it. Oh, man.
But to your point, like, it's like, you know, pick the relationship style that works for you. But it's not, we can't negate the fact that it might be a little harder. Like, 100%. We can't negate that. Just like for the person who is non-monogamous, it might be a little harder for him or her to find a relationship. So, you know, we can't like pretend.
That's a big thing for me. My big thing is, what bothers me is you got to be honest to people. Like the same, when I was a football coach, I told my kids, I was like, football is not for long. That's what NFL stands for. This is not money.
I mean, it's the only sport that you're only going to play really in high school.
And so
unless
it's like,
you're a weirdo and you still play after you graduate and you don't get paid.
At the flag football field.
Nah, there's grown men playing in football leagues in their 30s, like in small towns and shit.
I kind of wanted to do that.
Nah, bro, don't do that. You don't have the insurance to
Well, not like
tackle.
Not like
tackle. No, I'm talking about they
I would do that too. But to the point was like, I let them know, like, yo, this is not real money. Like, this is a short term thing, and there's a risk. You can get CTE. There's a risk here.
Heavy risk.
I'm gonna let you
You're
know.
You're gonna get CTE.
Exactly. So I'm gonna let you know the real that comes with it. So my thing with OnlyFans is, some people don't talk about the risk of doing it. Everything in life has a risk. So to me, I'm like, yo, if you want to do the OnlyFans thing, get the money and flip it, cool. No, there is a risk. As long as you're cool with the risk, no problem. But we can't lie to them, right? And then my last point is that I don't know a single man who, if they had a daughter who said she needed the money and she wanted to do OnlyFans, would be like, go get that bag. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know that many men who have a daughter who needed money And it says she wanted to either have sex or post naked pictures on online to go, go get that bag anyhow you want it.
It's funny because I was watching a porn documentary of like these women and their family find out. And you can just see the shame and the sadness on the father's face.
Do you think that's society?
Of what?
The culture that we live in, and do you think that could change? I mean, no.
I don't think it's going to change.
I don't really think that's a societal thing. I think that's just kind of...
normal.
You don't really... I mean, instinctively, you don't want to see your parents fucking, yeah. Right? You don't want to see your sister fucking. Yeah. You don't want to see family members fucking.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like that, I guess in a way, I guess that is it's society, but also at the same time, I feel like I just wouldn't under.
No, that would be weird.
Like, I don't think
you made it weird.
I mean, yeah. I'm trying to think. Like, did cavemen want to see their sisters fucking? I don't think even they did. Like, I feel like nobody wants to see family members.
What kind of edibles is those? What's going on
right here, dog? This is natural, man. But you feel like I just don't see a world where people want to see their family members having sex.
Yeah.
So, like, to imagine that somebody in your family, and I guess, again, it's like, you know, it's based kind of on your own morality. Like, you would assume that they're in a bad place to have to do that. Yeah. So that would be troubling as well. So, I mean, it's kind of like a two-shot combo.
Yeah.
But...
man, I mean, this was definitely an interesting convo. It flowed. I could talk forever. But I know these guys are probably, we've been doing videos all day. So we are, you know, where can they find you? Where can they, you know, all of it, you know, the thing. I'm tired.
Oh, yeah. You can find us on, you know, YouTube, the Roommates Podcast, and then social media handles, Roommates, HTX, Twitter, Instagram,
hey,
things like that. Then you want to follow us personally, you'll find it on Instagram. So yeah, it's not hard.
Yeah. And I highly, highly suggest, I know a lot of you guys already know, but if you do not know, go check out their content, especially if you're a man, if you're a woman too, because their content is very, it helped me a lot. I've been watching it for over a year. This was a very exciting time to have you guys on here. I appreciate you guys. Did you appreciate them, bro?
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed
the podcast. No, I didn't appreciate these assholes. Get out of here.
That's awesome. Appreciate it, man.